were here Friday night, okay? And then, I don't know if you noticed, we were watching something, but I really wasn't. And I think it got cut off. And I was sitting over here by James. And let me tell people, you know, you need to just not judge things and just really, let, not that most of you would. But I'm sitting beside James, and I just want you to know, James is like a son to me, okay? And he's friends with my sons. And I just say that because, you know, you do have to be, you have to use wisdom. And so I don't want to see, you know, a 35-year-old woman, you know, laying hands on a, you know, 28-year-old or 30-year-old man who's married and having issues or something, okay? And so there's this wisdom thing. And so you need to know where you have a sphere of influence. But I was sitting next to James, and James and I, God has given us a mentoring relationship for me to really help him to get what God has for his life. Right, James? And so to me, he's just really like a son. And I really love him that way. And I'm beginning to love everybody that way. It's really amazing what God can do. So I was sitting there, and I could tell, because I have really strong gift of discernment. If you don't believe that, just ask anybody who's really around me very long. I'm not bragging about it. It's just really, that is my gifting, my strongest gift. And so I knew by the Spirit that James was kind of disconnecting from the ministry. And the enemy was just telling him, you'll never fit in there. You know, you don't feel the presence of God like they do. And you don't have signs and wonders, which he really doesn't really care about having anyway. And so I was just really feeling that pulling away. And so I've been praying for him for about 3 or 4 days before that, probably a couple of weeks, and just saying, God, break through. And I said, Lord, I've talked to him and I've helped him see some things, but you know, this is not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. And God, I really don't want to lose him and I'm not saying about him having to stay here. I'm talking about him just feeling so rejected by God and like he couldn't fit in. And so I was just really praying. And, so I'm sitting there when they had the worship going, and, so somebody may have been here, and so if you're wondering what was going on, this is what was going on. So I'm sitting there. I love God. He'll totally interrupt the whole meeting. He's not even interrupting it. He already knew it was planned this way. And so while the Holy Spirit just showed me that James was going to leave, and I said to James, I said, I really feel like we're losing you. And James just said to me, he just said, I feel so ashamed. And I said, you know, what are you talking about? And he goes, I don't know. I just got this strong feeling of shame. And so I was sitting there, and then he kind of whispered to me during the singing that, this part's okay to tell, that he wanted his dad wanted to come to church here. And he didn't want his dad to come. And I said, and he goes, I feel so much shame. I said, well, are you ashamed for us to meet your dad? His dad had an aneurysm quite a few years ago, which can leave you not always 100%, you know, in the way you relate to people. I said, are you ashamed of him? Are you ashamed of the ministry? Because my own sons have been ashamed of the ministry because the persecution that comes when you shake really hard or fall out in places and people don't understand what's going on with you, and then people persecute it. And I get persecuted for righteousness' sake. And so it kind of made them upset with the ministry. So I said, and James isn't all into the signs and wonders all that much. And he said he used to be embarrassed for me. I said, don't. That's fun. I really enjoy it. God can zap me, turn me upside down, spin me around, you know, throw me over chairs. I don't care what he does. As long as it's God, it's a great time. And so anyway, so I said, well, are you ashamed for us to meet your father? Or are you ashamed for your father to meet us? He goes, it's not like that. I just feel like I just have shame. And I just thought, oh. So I was sitting there praying. And I said something. I said, well, do you just hug your dad or something? He goes, no, I'm not that type. I just don't feel like hugging my dad or that kind of thing. So I'm sitting there after being told, you know, I don't like to hug and all. I'm sitting there and the Holy Spirit's so funny. And the Holy Spirit, I just felt the presence of God come all over me. And the Lord put on my heart, I want you to hug him because he needs to feel my presence. And I said, oh, Lord, he just said he doesn't like to be hugged. And, you know, and there's all these people here and this young guy. And here I am sitting beside him, you know, and I don't want to embarrass him. And what do you do? And Lord said, I said, he needs to feel my unconditional love. And there's no breakthrough for him yet. Certain times there are, but I've got the anointing in you to touch him right now. So I'm like, oh man. So I kind of do this, you know, little, you know, like I'm sitting here and James, so I kind of do this, you know, like big sister kind of thing, you know. And then the Lord said, then I felt all this fire on this hand. And the Lord's like, put the other hand on. I said, you know, God, come on. And the Lord's like, just do it. He said, he needs to feel my unconditional love. So I put my hand on him, and I could tell he could feel the presence of God, because, you know, I could just tell he could feel the presence of God. You can tell when God's touching somebody. And so I'm sitting there, and then, as if the Lord doesn't try to make it more embarrassing, I feel this real tightness in my head right here, just really tight, like a grip on it. And I'm like, what's this? And Lord said, that's what's going on in his head right now. Right now, there's a demon right in his mind trying to really make him not receive unconditional love. I want you to put your hand on his head. I'm like, oh man, gosh, you know, we got this people here, you know. But I'm sitting there really going, God, I really want to be obedient, because you know how to touch your people. You know what you're doing, and everybody else will just have to get over it. And I said, this is really going to embarrass them, though. So, Lord, you're just going to have to work this thing. But I just knew it was God. So as soon as I took my hand and put it on his neck, like his head right here, I felt a release. And I felt that thing break off of my, that was, you know, the gift of knowledge that was going on in my head. And all of a sudden, as soon as I did that, God gave me a vision. And in this vision, I'm telling you all this because we're all going to go there together tonight. Since then, I've done this. I've prayed this same kind of inner healing over about 10 people here. And it takes a half hour or more each time. And truthfully, I just want us to all do it together. It's not about me laying hands on you, and it's not about me speaking specifically your situation. It's about allowing the Holy Spirit to take you there and trusting him to break through. And I do believe some people may need more deliverance. Some people are going to need some of the teaching to get to this place, but it's going to bring breakthrough. And I've also done a couple of these over the telephone. People call me up, just burst out crying. They hate themselves. I'm like, oh, Lord. And I'm like, well, if you watch on Tuesday, Lord said, will you minister to them now? And I'm like, okay. Here's the inner healing, and it's, when I say this, it's going to help jar in some of you where you have self-hate and shame. How old were you, James? Like 7 or 8 when your dad had the aneurysm? I saw this little boy. I'm just saying, here's how inner healing. This is how the gift works in me. I'm a seer. I actually see in the spirit. I see things God wants me to see. I can actually see things that are really going on now in the spirit. But God can also give me a word of knowledge by letting me see something in the past, which is what the gift of knowledge is. So all of a sudden, I see this little boy sitting. Actually, I see James' father on the couch, and he's just really hurting from just having an aneurysm. If you don't know what that is, it's where a blood vessel bursts in your brain, and it gives you some brain damage, and it's very hard. So you have to relearn a lot of things. So here you have this little kid who has an active dad, a dad who's hanging out with him, a dad who's your typical normal dad. He comes home and everything's changed. That man's not there anymore. Now, really, that man is there, but the dad who could play with him isn't there. The dad who could hang out with him isn't there. Instead, there's a mom trying to protect this man from being too active. You know, everything changes, you know. So mom changes and your sister changes and you change. And what I saw in the picture was actually like his dad sitting there just really out of it, to a point where James was embarrassed by him. And James didn't want his friends. This is what I saw. James did not want his friends to come in and see his dad. And that was the shame that was coming up in him, because God was going to deal with this. So he couldn't understand why and I'm sure his dad is probably fine now. You couldn't even probably tell anything's wrong with him after all these years. And he works, he has a job and all. But that this wasn't about now. This was about then. And that shame came up when his dad wanted to come here. And he didn't understand that, you know, because you ought to be excited that your dad might come and find the Lord, you know. So that put on more shame. What's wrong with me that I'm so selfish? I don't want my dad to come and get saved. And so I said to James, when I operate in the spirit with the gift of knowledge, I don't know what I'm going to, I don't know what to say. I say it as I see it. It's like, he doesn't give me this big movie for 10 minutes and then I come back and tell you. It's like as it's happening. And so I saw this little boy who didn't want his friends to come in the house. And that was God showing me, this is where the shame came in. He was ashamed of himself for being ashamed of his dad. And so he hated himself for being so horrible to be ashamed of his dad when his dad couldn't help this, which also led to the root of bitterness because, God, why did you let this happen? Okay? And so a lot of the teaching we've done, if you don't have the teaching series on bitterness and breaking judgments, if you don't have the basic kit at 1 and 2, I'm telling you, you're going to get a little breakthrough tonight. But there's really, I've learned, you really need to plunder the house of the enemy. It's a tearing down. It's a delayering. It's getting right to that hurt person that God wants to bring unconditional love to. So I said to James, I told him what I was seeing. And at that point, you know, I could tell just by his emotion that God was taking him into the spirit. He was actually seeing it also. And so this was so cool. All of a sudden I see James at the age of 7 or 8. I could tell us how old he was. I didn't know which one. That's why I asked. Sitting on his couch. You're a cute little thing too, by the way, James. And I saw James, you know, beside me. And I saw the Lord, and the Lord said, as I put my hand on James' back, the Lord said, this is my unconditional love pouring into James. Tell him. And I said, James, I just want you to receive unconditional love from God right now. Your whole life has been love with conditions. Your whole life has been love with conditions. And then when this happened, it just threw you for a loop because you didn't even know where to go with this. So you got so angry at God. And I said, so receive love with conditions right now. I mean, without condition, unconditional love, perfect love that casts out fear. And so as I was praying for him, I then said, I want you to see yourself with Jesus having his hand on your shoulder or on your, you know, with you. I can't remember exactly what I said. Walking over to the little boy on the couch. And I want you to look him right in the face, James. I want you to look him right in the face. And I want you to tell him you love him. I want you to tell him it's okay what he did. It's okay that he was ashamed of his dad. It's okay that he blamed God because he didn't know who else to blame. That he's not a horrible person that is not worthy of his own love. I said, I want you to tell him you forgive him. I want you to tell him you love him. And I want you, and so we walked all this through, and I said, now I want you to hug him. I want you to literally see yourself hugging yourself at that age. And some people said, I just can't do that. You have to look at it as, what if that was your child? What if that was your sister or your brother, someone you really cared about, and they were feeling self-hate? How would you minister to them? How would you minister to them? And the way you would minister to them is the way you need to minister to yourself. You need to give yourself unconditional love. Now, God's been doing a lot in this place in the last 2 or 3 weeks to help us to receive unconditional love. That's what's really going on when the Toronto blessing has the soaking. I don't know that they explain it like this. I don't know if they even see it like this, because God just has given me a deep revelation for the body of Christ. But that's what happens. That's what was happening to me when I would sit in God's presence for 2 or 3 or 4 hours. I would just sit there. It's just awesome. You can just sit still and receive this love. It's like, wow, it's just so awesome. It's indescribable peace and joy and love in the Holy Ghost. Oh, isn't that Bible? Yay. It's the true glory of the Lord. It's his presence loving you. That's what everyone was created to live in. We were created to live in the presence of God loving us unconditionally. That's why we weren't to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and the knowledge of evil. We didn't need to. We were completely protected and led by this unbelievable God and his wonderful love. And since the fall, it's been a big mess. So I told James, I said, now hug yourself. And he was crying by now. And he doesn't cry before because of the hardness in the heart. He wasn't boo-hooing. It was just little cry. Get over it, James. Humble yourself. It's all right. I'm going to ask God to sock it to you and let the water flood just come out to your nose running and your eyes all bulgy red and everything. Anyway, God was touching you, right? You saw the vision, right? Okay. And you're here tonight, so that's cool. Anyway, and then the part, and be listening, because you're going to all do this. You're all going to walk through this yourself. And I'm going to help you by the leading of the Holy Spirit. But then he had to bring, it was like he became one with himself. So he took that part of him that he had detested or was ashamed of or had rejected. And what he tried to walk away from his whole life. And he had to love himself. What's the Bible say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your might. Isn't this cool that I just preached last week? And this will all be out in a series, hopefully in a week or so. Last week, I just preached on loving yourself. And then God gives me this vision on Friday after I preached that on Tuesday. Is he not a God of order? I wasn't sitting around trying to make up something. Lord, show me how, what do I do? You know, it's like, oh, this is that. This is, and the Bible says to love your neighbor as yourself. The Bible says, husbands, love your wife as yourself. So if you were the devil and you wanted to make sure God's people could not let unconditional love come out of their hearts, you would make sure they didn't know how to receive unconditional love. And you would do everything you could to make them hate themselves. The Bible says, know the schemes of the enemy. And when you hate yourself until you have the revelation God's taught us, there's bitterness against God. Why did you put me in this family? Why did you make me this color? Why did you make me this gender? Why did you give me these parents? Why did this happen to me? Why? We have a whole teaching on bitterness, a new one that's out that I really encourage you guys to get. Even the regular BFAers who've been here for 10 years, you really ought to come up with $35 if possible and get the inner healing kit. It's called Basic Inner Healing. It's very deep. It's more concise than what we've done before. But it's kit 1 and 2 put together at a discount for $35. And our special this month that we're saying on the radio is you get perfect love free with that when you get it. So that's 9 CDs for $35. But I'm telling you, powerful, life-changing CDs. And if you're looking for any kind of gift for anybody, I'm telling you, this is going to change lives. So then he merged who he was. The Holy Spirit had me speak. Now, let that hug that person right into who you are. And then in the name of Jesus, be whole. And let that unconditional love run through you to that part of you and be one. And then there was another whole part. I didn't even do this other part with James, so he needs to listen tonight when I go here. But after I ministered to him, then I came over and there was a group of ladies left over here. It was like midnight. And I was so zipped in this. I mean, it was like, wow, that was awesome. I mean, I really know when God gives me something really awesome. It's all awesome, but sometimes he gives you one of those, wow, this is great. So I said, hey, you want to hear what God gave me? Of course, they all did. So then they start crying, and also we start ministering that for a while. I did about 4 people. I said, look, it's after midnight. I'm tired. I said, we'll do this on Tuesday night. So let's pray about it. And hopefully in your groups, you got to some of this. We did in the group that I did tonight. Okay. The next part, when we do this, that you're going to go from, is from some of you have lived in a place of unconditional rejection. Okay. Unconditional rejection. If Satan can work it in your life to have the authority figures, especially your parents, cause you, and I'm talking about unconditional rejection is, okay, if your father wasn't there, you have unconditional rejection. Why? Because there's no way to change that. They're not there. If your mother wasn't there, unconditional rejection. There's no way to change that. If you had a parent with a mental disability, which is just demonization, but if you had a parent who couldn't be there for some reason, or a parent who died early, any of those things is taken as unconditional rejection, okay? Not everybody has unconditional rejection. And rejoice if you don't have unconditional rejection. I don't think I had unconditional rejection in my life. I mean, I had a lot of receiving acceptance and a lot of love. Sometimes you can have unconditional rejection from just one person and then even maybe some codependency on someone else to try the best you can to make up that need. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can have unconditional rejection from society. That's one of the main reasons so many African Americans are men are in jail.